Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Vision is a very incredible thing in that it is the ability to see ahead, see into the future, or gain a picture of something that we think is worthwhile to go after. Having vision can inspire you to go places that people have never gone before and do things that people have never done before. Having a vision, a tenacity to go after something, can drive us and propel us into brand new spaces. There are two historical explorers who had an incredible vision that propelled them towards something that had never been done before. In the early 1900s, in 1910, two explorers set out to reach the South Pole, which had never been journeyed all the way to. In the harshest of Arctic conditions, these two explorers determined that they wanted to go and see the Arctic. You thought you experienced cold when you walked in here today. They intentionally went and sought out the coldest of the cold that can be found and said, I will journey into the great unknown because I have a vision for something. The first is Ronald Amundsen. He set out in October of 1910 with a team of four men and several dogs and all kinds of supplies to venture into the great Arctic to find his way to the South Pole. Just a few weeks later, in early November, Robert Scott did the same thing, also with a team of four, with horses, with carrying, with all kinds of supplies, venturing into the cold because he wanted to make his way all the way where someone had never been before. Both of these men ventured out and set out to see something and do something that had never been done before. Both of these men charted their journeys, and both of these men were so inspired that they gathered four other people to be part of their team. They gathered up their supplies and they set out on their journey. However, their journeys did not end the same. While Ronald Amundsen made it to the South Pole and returned within a mere 99 days, 99 days in the freezing cold for his great journey, Robert Scott, on the other hand, was out in the cold for close to 200 days. He and his team made it to the South Pole, but on their return, were overcome by the harshness of the weather, by the severity of the environment, by a lack of resources, and all five men perished in the cold. It's a tragic story, and it is a horrific tale that is journaled in Robert's journal, where he details the days and has a final entry where he enters that he realizes that he is not going to make it out of this cold. And so historians have looked at these two side-by-side comparisons of these experienced explorers who set out to do something that they had never done before, and neither of them lacked courage, and neither of them lacked bravery, neither of them lacked ambition, neither of them lacked vision, neither of them lacked a team to go along with them, neither of them lacked resources to go along. All of these things were in place, but why is it that one of them succeeded and the other one failed? And they have detailed the differences in what their two journeys entailed, and it all comes down to one word: preparation. Amundsen was far more prepared for the journey he was about to go on than Scott was. in moments where Scott made assumptions, Amundsen researched and detailed. Those who have studied his routes and his plans have said he was meticulous in the way that he asked questions and meticulous in the way that he charted the stops between their depots, and he was meticulous in the way that he gathered his team together. He put incredible amounts of attention into the way that he prepared. His preparation actually involved learning new ways of doing things, while Scott relied on things that came from the area of the world that he was from, and while he relied on ways that he already knew, Amundsen went into learning new ways of doing things and taking on input from people who lived in different environments. He gathered the best information that could be found so that his team could be the most prepared possible. His preparation actually allowed his team to be more adaptable along the way because they were so prepared in the supplies that they had, because they were so prepared in the way that they were connected and working together as a team, because they were so prepared with the mode of transportation that they had chosen. When they encountered the inevitable, unexpected circumstances, it allowed them to adapt and pivot more quickly because of the level of preparation they had put in. And he prepared in such a way that he took a route that had never been charted or gone on before, while Amundsen trusted something that had been journeyed previously to certain extents and charted out by others before him. Amundsen looked at it and said, I think there's a better way, and no one's done it before, but I believe that we can go this way. His preparation is what allowed him to make it there and back with every single person that left with him intact. Everyone made the journey because they were prepared. I want you to look at the book of Joshua, chapter 3 and verse 5. This is Joshua getting ready to lead the children of Israel into their promised land. They've been waiting for this moment, and they are getting ready to walk into something that they have been believing for, going into a place that most of them have never been before, getting ready to settle on something that most of them have never settled on before. And it says, Joshua stands up before the people and says, consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves, because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Now, consecrate is one of those Bible words. It's one of those church words that no one ever says anywhere else in life. If you didn't grow up in church, you probably went decades of your life before hearing the word consecrate. If you grew up in church, it was a word that you knew by the time you were like 10 years old. I'm going to do a whole series one time on words that church kids know that other kids don't know. It includes words like consecration and circumcision. Like, why is circumcision part of my regular vocabulary as an 11-year-old? Because it's everywhere in the Bible. Okay, so consecration. Come back, focus, Vision Sunday. Consecration is a Bible word that I think we could fairly summarize as meaning holy preparation. It is preparing for the thing that God is about to do. It's setting aside places, things, and people for the work that God has planned. And in this context specifically, it is Joshua saying to the congregation of people, it is time to put yourself in holy preparation, because God has wonders that he is about to do in us. You need to be prepared. You need to be consecrated for what God is about to do. to do. This is our year of preparation. This is a year for us of holy preparation for what God is about to do. I can say to you with all confidence and with so much certainty that 2026 is going to be for us a year of wonders. To see what God is going to do in the year 2026 in and through this church. I already feel the Spirit stirring and speaking to me about the things that are coming ahead of us. For years now, I've heard God saying, I think we actually have a screen. This is a screenshot from my notebook of my very messy handwriting, which is embarrassing to show all of you. But this is a screenshot from my notebook that I wrote in July 15th at 1:07 in the morning. My Lord, go to sleep, woman. July 15th, 2023, at 1:07 in the morning, a note that I opened up and wrote down, God is going to be 2026 is going to be a significant year for us. Since mid-2023, God has been speaking to Phil and I about what is coming. I would go to God in like 2023 and be like, God, what's coming for the second half of this year? God, what are you speaking to us for next year? And I would just hear him say in me, 2026 is going to be big. Watch out for what's coming in 2026. And I'd be like, God, I need to know what to do for the rest of this year. And eventually he would let me in on those things. But every time first he would let me know, wait and see what's coming for you in 2026. So as we started digging into it, we started praying about it and saying, God, give us more specifics about what that looks like. Finally, I sat down and looked at a calendar, something that should have occurred to me probably more quickly than it did, but math is not my strong suit. Words are my strong suit. And I finally realized that 2026 will be 40 years of this church serving and standing in this city. 40 years since our founding pastors came and opened doors and set out chairs and said, we believe that God wants to do something in this city. And I believe that in the way that he has moved through us for decade on decade on decade, that he has a whole new vision of who we need to be and how we need to be and the way that he's asking us to serve and to impact our city for a whole new generation that's coming up behind, that we will stand at a pinnacle moment and say, God, look what you have done over the last 40 years, the ways and the miracles and the wonders. And he will say to us, wait and see the wonders that I have yet still in store for you for another 40 years of serving and loving and growing and being the people that I need and I've called you to be. And over this year, we want to share with you some of the ways that he's begun to show us. And we want you to pray with us that God would continue to reveal and unfold to us who it is that he's calling us to be for this next season of serving, who we need to become for the future of who we are as a church together, the way that he wants to use us. I find about God that he's continually changing the way he wants to use us in every season, and that he's beginning to speak those things. And I know this is supposed to be Vision Sunday for 2025, not 2026. Trust me, I have felt the tension over the last several weeks of going, I want to get up and say, this is going to be your year to take on that mountain. Every wall in front of you is coming down and every door is, and here we go. Let's charge the one. Trust me, I want to. But the word God is speaking to me is that this is our year to prepare. There is a beauty in knowing what's coming down the line. There is a gift in God saying, I'm getting ready to do wonders among you. And since I'm getting ready to do some wonders among you, I want you to take this next 12 months and prepare yourselves. Prepare in your heart, prepare in your mind, prepare in your life. It's our season to begin to put some things in place that say, God, we've positioned ourselves to do whatever it is you want to do. God, we've positioned ourselves to begin to have things in place that when you pour out your windows, we're ready to receive them. God, we've positioned ourselves in such a way that we're ready for the new that you're about to send into this place. Preparing allows us to be ready for whatever might be coming. Games are not won on the field. Games are won in practice times. Exams are not passed in the exam room. They're passed in the library. Phil's training for another full marathon. 26.2 miles for the third time. I know, but you know who doesn't get enough credit? The spouses of people who run full marathons. Are there any other spouses of people who run marathons? It is a lot of work to be the spouse of the, I'm putting in hours of support, of encouragement, of cheering. If y'all could pray for me over the next coming months. I'm joking. It's an incredible feat and it's an incredible task. But that race is not completed on race day. That race is completed in the months leading up, in the preparation that goes into the dedication of the continual miles being put in, the stretching that has to happen, the attention to proper weight training, into all of the preparation that happens beforehand. And my belief is that over this year, we are going to be prepared for what God has in store for us in such a way that we enter 2026 with incredible expectation, that we enter 2026 in a position ready for whatever it is that God is walking us into, that we enter next year, that this time next year, we will have clarity on the steps that He is walking us into and preparing us for. I want to ask you to get recommitted to your rhythms of resilience. One of the ways that we prepare ourselves is by staying continually connected. Last year, we launched these rhythms of resilience, which give daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly rhythms that we think are the habit and lifestyle of a believer, because it's our prayer for you that you would have a strong and healthy faith in every season of your life. And that strong and healthy faith is not built by what we occasionally do, but it's built through the regular, repeatable rhythms that we have in our life. And part of being prepared is preparing our soul to be in tune and connected with what God has for us. And these rhythms will walk us into it. You guys don't have a screen for this, but our first season this year of life groups and of weekend messages that line up with that is going to be about hearing from God. Because I think that hearing from God and learning to hear the voice of God helps prepare us to move in step with what God is doing in every season. In just a minute, Phil's going to come and tell you about some of those different things that we're going to walk into. But the very first thing that we're going to collectively do, and I'm asking everyone who possibly can be part of it to be a part, is that we are going to step into, starting tomorrow, our 7 days of prayer and fasting, our filled for 2025, for January of 2025, is 7 days of prayer and fasting. I think prayer and fasting prepares our souls, prepares our spirits, prepares our lives to be in step and in tune with what God has for us. Part of what it does is it declutters all of the things that distract us. I saw somebody post this week, do you want to know if you're addicted to something? Then try fasting it for 7 days. you'll find out how much of a pull it has on your life. And I think there are all kinds of things that have a pull and a hold on our life that we don't recognize until we say, I'm just going to take a little step back from that for a minute. I'm just going to take a little pause on that. I'm just going to set that aside. So we've developed these guides. Myself and the team have put these together to help walk you through the next 7 days. If you've never participated in a time of prayer and fasting before, it has information in the front about what prayer and fasting is. It'll help walk you through how to decide what way are you going to engage in your time of fasting. What does that look like? It has some tips on succeeding in it. It has a QR code that'll take you to a playlist of praise and worship music to listen to, as well as a podcast that we've put together that just has brief thoughts to be a bonus content on next to this. You'll receive a declaration offering inside of it, envelope as well, on the inside of it. The biggest thing I would say is if you are planning on participating in the 7 days of prayer and fasting, and I hope that you are, I want all of us to go on this journey together. Sign up and let us know, because part of what helps strengthen your journey is the people that you do it along beside. Getting a text message every day saying, you're doing great, you've got this, here we go. Jumping on the morning Facebook Lives, Phil and I are going to be doing some prayer every morning at 7:30. At 7:30 in the morning, I will be there right on time. At 7:30 in the morning on Facebook Live, jump on that. Add things into your day, because by the end of the next 7 days, I think we are going to have our first step in preparing our hearts and minds for what it is that God is walking us into, because this is our year of preparation.